Praise the Lord. I praise and thank God for giving us this blessed Sunday morning to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in truth and spirit. Indeed, it's very delighted for me to be back in the church after almost a gap of 5 months. I know we are very few in numbers in the church, but we know that many of you are viewing this live stream, hearing the message from their homes and in different countries, in different zones. We once again welcome you all and greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I told, I'm coming to the church after almost 5 months. We were worshiping in our homes, viewing the live streams. And many of you are eager to come to the church to worship our Lord in the truth and the spirit. The one thing that which interested me when I came here is even if you are late, you just come running. And you can sit in a chair or in the pew, wherever it is free. But now, no. When you come, you have to come early, and then one of the brothers in the church, he will come and he will note the time which we came inside. And then the interesting thing is that he holds the temperature gun and he checks our temperature. Imagine if my temperature was around about 37.5 or 38, he would have told me, please, there is an exit, you can go out. And I thought, God, what is going to be my temperature? And luckily he told me that it is 35.1. You can go to your seat. I came to my seat and I was just thinking. When we go, our ultimate aim is to go to that eternity, to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we go there, when we reach the gates of heaven, there will be waiting for us something like this. There will be only one thing, yes or no, are you eligible to enter inside? Did you do the work that the master entrusted on you? Did you win souls for Christ? Did you live a faithful life? Yes or no? If it is no, there is an exit. If it is an yes, there is an entry into the kingdom, to the marriage, with the marriage of Jesus Christ, to be with him. We know that for the last several months, and also especially for the last week, if you look back into this world, it has not been a good week, right? It has been a time of disasters. Across the globe, if you look, we are all living in a pandemic time. And if you look back from Tuesday onwards, last week, in different countries in Middle East, also in our home country, India, floods, disasters happening. Many people are in agony. Many people lost their loved ones. And I could hear, like, last 2-3 days, several people were saying, where is 2020 taking us? Is there no hope? And last day when I was hearing the CBC news, the place where the explosion took place on Tuesday, people are saying that we don't have any hope. People are starving for food. They need food. They need a shelter. They need clothing. And this morning, those who are hearing me, those who are in the church, those who are in their homes, we should be grateful and thankful to our God, because we have a roof. We have food on our tables. We have clothing. And we should thank the Almighty God for what he has done for us. But one thing I can assure you today morning, God is in control. Without his knowledge, nothing will happen. Everything happens through him and by him. As King Solomon says, there is a season for everything. And a time for everything to be fulfilled under heaven. There's a purpose. A time to love. A time to hate. A time to give. A time to take. A time to leave. A time to die. A time to be joy. A time to weep and mourn. Which time are we going through? Which is the situation are we going through? Are we mourning? Are we weeping? Is there no hope? But today morning, we are here to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, which gives us hope. We may think, Maybe some of you are hearing us. Maybe thinking, where is God? At the crossroad, where is God? Why am I here? Why is there no improvement in my life? Where is hope? But today morning we want to assure you there is hope in Jesus Christ. May I take you to the Old Testament times. It was a similar situation when Moses and the people of Israel, when they approached the Red Sea, they do not know what to do because in front of them there is a Red Sea and behind there is the angry enemy after them. And Pharaoh, the enemy, is telling, let's pursue them. They are wandering in the desert aimlessly. Let's go and kill them. Let us destroy them. And at that time, Moses and the people of Israel, they do not know what to do. They are thinking, they thought that God will take them to some better place than what they suffered in Egypt. But today morning I want to tell you, God takes us to the places where He wants, not what we need. He took them to the edge of the Red Sea. Sometimes we may be near the edge of something. We think that our life is falling down. But God came down at that moment of time. And He's saying to Moses, go forward. He wanted to show His power. This morning, in whatever situation you are, God wants to show the power, the wonder-working power, as we sang today morning. There is nothing impossible for our God. He wants to show His power. And that's why, even though the angry enemy was behind them, the power of God came and separated the Red Sea, and the people of Israel passed through it. I want to take you to the New Testament, where Jesus and His disciples were in a boat. And there was a heavy storm, there was wind, and the disciples were so afraid. They do not know what to do. In our vision, if you see, they might be throwing out the waters. They wanted to lose the weight of the ship. They wanted to throw out every water, whatever was in the boat. But one person, he was happily sleeping there. And after they did everything, when they could not do any more further, when they found that the boat will sink, they went and told, Master, why are you sleeping? Don't you know that we are going to sink? And he woke up and he said, he calmed the wind, he calmed the storm. And the disciples were astonished. What is this? The nature, the wind, and the waves, everything obey him. It came to a calm atmosphere. That is the Spirit of God. That is the power of God which is in us. We should have that complete faith in Him that God can do miracles and wonderful things in our life. That is the power of God. That is the Spirit of God which came upon Jesus and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That Spirit is controlling each day in our life. Today morning, we preach to you through the Bible, which has been given to us, written by many men of God who were guided by the Holy Spirit, which gives us assurance and hope. Let me read for you from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both of us stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit of guaranteeing of what is to come. That is the assurance we have today morning, that the Spirit of God is in us, guaranteeing of what is to come. He has the seal of ownership. We have an honor, and that is none other than our Jesus Christ. So this morning, as we are here in the presence of God, wherever you are, have that power of God this morning time as we together meditate through the Word of God. For today's message, the title that the Holy Spirit gave through my mind is Anointing That Can Change Us. The anointing that can change in every situation. The anointing that can change our lives. The anointing that can change the churches. The anointing that can change a society. That can bring a change within us. For that, I would like to read Psalms 45, verse 7. Psalms 45, verse 7. It reads like this. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. We all are very interested to read Psalms. Psalms is a book which gives us encouragement. It gives us a source of comfort when we are in different situations. And also every one of us like to read Psalms. Even if we don't read the Bible, at least at the end of the day, we open the book and we read Psalms and we are very happy and we go to our bed. This Psalms 45 is written, if you look to the heading, it is written by the sons of Korah. It can be said as a song, like a poet. It has been written. It is one of the royal psalms. Before I go into my topic, let me give a small of Psalms 44. Let me say the history behind Psalms 45. Who are the sons of Korah? I think I have told some time before, but those who are listening for the first time, it was written, this Psalms 45 was written by the sons of Korah. They have written Psalms 42 to 49, 84, 85, 87, and 88. These Psalms which were written by the sons of Korah, they tell about defeat, they tell about victory, they tell about the marvelous works of God. If you look back to the Numbers in chapter 4, the book of Numbers, which is the fourth book in the Bible, if you look there, you can see a clear picture of who Korah and his sons were. In chapter 4, there were three divisions of families. They are mainly Gershonites, Merorites, and the Kehatites. So God chose these three tribes, these three family divisions, for the work of the tabernacle. So the Gershonites, they were carrying and doing the coverings, the curtains of the tabernacle of God. The Merorites, they were carrying the framework of the tabernacle, the structure, like the pillars and things like that. And the third group, called the Kehathites, they were carrying the holy things inside the tabernacle. The first two groups, that's the Gershonites and the Merorites, they could carry these things of the tabernacle, that is the curtains, the structural things, they could carry in bullock carts, wherever they go. But the Kehathites, they should carry these holy things on their shoulders. Such was the importance of the family of Korah or the Kehathites. But as we move forward, when we read in the book of Numbers chapter 16, we see that a member of this tribe of the Kehathites, that is Korah, and 250 men rose against God's servant, that is Moses. But what did Moses do, the servant of God, when somebody rose against him? He just knelt down and he looked up into the face of the God, and God did something unusual. In verse 32, it read that the earth opened up and swallowed these people, that is Korah, and the men with him. But God showed kindness to the sons of Korah. As we read along the book of Numbers and Chronicles, we can see that the sons of Korah became to many important positions at the time of David and Solomon. They became warriors in the time of David. They became the doorkeepers in the house of the Lord. The prophet Samuel was the seventh generation of Korah. And in the time of David and Solomon, they became worshippers in that palace. Now to move to our topic. This Psalms 45 might have been written for three occasions as per biblical scholars. One is for the marriage of a king. Might be king. They say that it's for King Solomon, but some say for King David. to a foreign lady. As you read the whole Psalms, you will come across it. Secondly, it might be for the marriage of, at that time, still now we read in our marriages, we read the book of Psalms 45. Then, the most important thing, biblical scholars compare it as a messiah psalm, comparing it to Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, his bride. Today, within the time limit, I just focus on these three aspects. So first I told it might be for the marriage of a king. Let's take our book to our attention to King David. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, we read like this in verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So that is our main verse in connection with this Psalms for the kingship. Where do we first see David? We first see David in 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 14, where it is written, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." Samuel is saying to King Saul, "The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord has said." So, before we see David, as he is called by Prophet Samuel, God saw David in his heart. That's why it is saying that God has sought a man after his own heart to lead, to become the king of Israel. Today, you and me, those who are hearing me, you are in the heart of our God. He knows us. That's why in Psalms it says, "Thou knowest me before I was formed in my mother's womb." Now, why did God want to take away Saul? You know, Saul, his nature changed. Because when God told Samuel to go to Bethlehem, to a person called Jesse, Samuel is telling God, "If I go, King Saul will kill me." Who is King Saul? Anointed by God. But at the same time, the prophet is telling, "If I go, the king may kill me." Who is the king going to kill? The prophet. Can he do? Can a king who is anointed by God do it? He cannot. So God came to knew the nature of Saul. Several divinities depart from us when we leave God. What are that? One, or those who forget God. God himself will move out, right? The Holy Spirit will move out. God's glory will move away. His word will move. And his mercy will go away from us. And these all left Saul. Now, there were seven sons of Jesse, right? In 1 Chronicles chapter 2, if you read, you can see what are the names of the sons of Jesse. I will read it for you. It is Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah, Nathaniel, Radai, Osam, and David. There you will find that we are missing one person. A confusion might come to readers when they read 1 Samuel chapter 13 and 1 Chronicles chapter 2, because there is mentioned only seven names. When I was studying this, I came to know that one son might have died when he was young. That's why it's written there only seven. Just for those who refer to the passages, maybe you might find there only seven, but you will find eight. But actually, it's not recorded because one son might have died. And Jesse, all these seven sons passed by through Samuel. And Samuel did not find anyone to anoint. Scholars say that the Spirit of God spoke to Samuel not to anoint this person, not to anoint this person. Each one came. But he cannot anoint. Because God told, this is not the person. Samuel just looked into the outward appearance. But God looks into the heart of people. And everybody passed by. Samuel, with so much of experience, with so much of his communication with God, he could not find one. He was also looking at to the outward appearance. But God looked to the inside of a person. And after 7 sons passed by, he's asking Jesse, is there not anyone more? Is there any sons left? And Jesse is telling, yes, there is one son, but he is outside. He's looking after the sheep. He's looking after the flocks. And Samuel said, bring him here. Without him here, we will not sit. And they brought David. And when David came, the Spirit of the Lord told Samuel, anoint him. This is the king which I saw in my heart. And Samuel took the oil which was in his horn and he anointed David. And you know what is written there in 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13? The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. My dear friends, today morning you have to know that when the anointing comes, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you right now wherever you are. God raised up several people. If you read the book of Bible, you can see God raised up several men and women in the Bible, anointed them and gave them the Spirit. His Spirit, he put them inside it. And we can see after that he goes back into the wilderness. He did not become a king. One thing we have to understand, when God wants to fulfill a purpose in your life, he may not give you the thrones. He may not give you the well affairs in the beginning. But maybe you may have to go through darkness period in your life. David went through darkness in his life after his anointment. He felt loneliness. He was everywhere. But one person was with him every time. And that is the Spirit of God was with David. And you know, when Saul, he was filled with the evil spirit, he was asking for some person to play a harp on him. Harp for him. The music for him. And you know, the people gave him a news that there is a person, a son of Jesse. And what did they give him? If you read in 16 verse 17, he's a skillful musician, a mighty valiant man, a man of war. Did David go to the war of that till, to a war till that time? No. But they are saying he's a man of war. He's prudent in matters of business. And important thing that what they told him, that Lord is with him. That means the Spirit of God is with David. For Jesse and his brothers of David, he was just a young son to tend the flocks, to tend the sheep. But God saw a king in David. So today morning, those who are hearing me, if the anointment is with you, you are a king. You are for purpose of God. Wherever you are placed, the Spirit of God will lead you and he will accomplish the purpose that he has for you. And that's why in the New Testament we read, God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of strength. So that spirit we have today in our lives. May I go forward? Secondly, in anointing there is strength, right? You know, when he went into the field to see his brothers who were going to fight against the Philistines, the eldest brother scolded him, why are you here? And everyone scolded him. And they are telling, why you came? You are a young lad. But the word reached Saul that David, he is ready to fight. And when David reaches to Saul, Saul asks him, you are a young boy, how can you fight this Philistine? And he is telling his qualifications, his resume, he is telling to King Saul. He told, I have killed a lion, I have killed a bear. And third one is the greatest thing. He is telling, I will go against him with the strength of my Lord. And that is his faith. So he killed a lion, he killed a bear, and he has faith to move forward. So the Spirit of God gives us strength. Due to lack of time, I don't want to go into what was his armor, what the weapons he carried compared to the Goliath and comparing to King Saul. In the anointing, there is spirit. In anointing, there is strength. Third, in anointing, there is pure love. You know, when David, he was fleeing away from Saul, and Saul was chasing him. And one day David came to know that he is sleeping in a cave. His fellow mates told that, "Let us kill him." But David told, "I cannot kill him because I cannot kill the anointed one." In anointing, there is pure love. That's why in Corinthians it says, there is faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of this is love. Dear children of God, in anointing, there is Spirit of God. In anointing, there is strength of God. In anointing, there is the love of God. These are all big topics which we have to learn in depth. But let me move on. And one more thing, in anointing, there is simplicity or humility of life. There is a prayer of David in 2 Samuel where he prays, "Oh God, who am I that I should come this far? Who am I?" A great king of Israel is asking God, "Who am I?" And the Spirit of God led him. In Proverbs, we read, there is a verse in chapter 22. It says, "Humility is the fear of the God, and its wages is riches and honor." So when we are humble, when the Spirit of the Lord has anointed us to be humble, when we are humble, He will exalt us at the right time. And the great thing is that if you read in 1 Samuel chapter 22, all his brethren and his father came to him. So once he was rejected, once he was not looked upon, but when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, everybody came back to him. If I rewind some books back of the Old Testament, you can see great men of God. Abraham, you see Joseph, who were all called by God, who moved with the sight of faith, and they all accomplished the purpose of God. And one more thing, anointing forgives us. Because why I want to say is that, when I say all this, a point can come against me that David sinned. Yeah, he sinned. But if you read there, he confessed totally to God. He had the affliction of what he did. He had to go through the disaster of what he sinned. But the Spirit of the God took control of him. The anointment forgived him. That's what we come to know about Psalms 45. When we read the anointing, he has filled you with anointing above your fellows. And David was raised above everyone in his household. Let me take you to the second, to the ordinary people, to the marriages of the time. If you look into the book of Job, there is a person in the book of Job in chapter 42. It says, "Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." We see a Job confessing to God. Why was he confessing to God? We know, if you read the book of Job chapter 1, we know that he was a man of righteousness. He hated wickedness. The same thing what Psalms 45 says, because you love righteousness and you hated wickedness, God your God has anointed you above thy fellows. Job, when he was in total misery, I'm not going to the whole history of Job. When he was in, you can read the book of Job chapter 1 and 2. When he was in total misery, his three friends came there. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. These three friends came there and said everything against him. They told that you did a sin. You talked too much. And that's why God has brought all these afflictions on you. In chapter 38, another friend Elihu, he also enters. And he turns against Job. But Job looked up to God. In chapter 38, God himself comes to Job in a whirlwind. And he asks Job different questions. And Job says, "God, till now I heard about you, but now I see you fully." And that is why, as we read in Psalms 45, he hated wickedness. He loved righteousness. And God raised him above his fellows. My dear friends who are listening to me today morning time, if you submit yourselves to God, if God is your dear friend, if you have an intimate relationship with God, he will raise you above your fellows. In whatever situations you are going through, cling on to him. There should be no doubt in faith and God can raise you up. Give thanks to God in all situations. In Job, we learn patience. It's God's purpose to test him. Trust God in every situation. God is upset with Job's friends. If you read, I think 40 and 41, he says to Job's friend, go to Job and he and my servant will pray for you. All these chapters from chapter 4 till chapter 37, if you read, they are fully pointing up Job against, saying that he did some wickedness, that's why God afflicted him. But in chapter 42, God came down and he is upset with all these four friends. And he says to them, go to Job and he will pray for you. And Job prayed for them. And like David, when David was anointed and he became the king, all his brethren and his household came to him. Once he was not among them, once he was not looked upon. But when God's anointment came upon David, all his brethren and his household came to him. In Job 42, verse 11, let me read out for you. Then there came unto him all the brethren and all his sisters and all they that had acquainted before and did eat bread with Job. Everyone gave him a piece of money and everyone an earring of gold. See, when God's favor came upon Job, when he hated wickedness, when he loved righteousness, the favor of God came upon him and he became rich. God blessed the latter part of Job more than his beginnings. Today morning, my friends, God is with you. His favor is upon you, but condition is there. Love righteousness and hate wickedness. God can use you. Finally, fast forward, if I take to you some books in the Old Testament, you see Daniel, you see Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. All these men of God, they hated wickedness, they loved righteousness, they stood for faith, and God raised up and exalted them above their fellows, above their friends. God raised them up. He is a good God. He is there to raise you up. Before concluding, let me go to the book of New Testament. I can show you many persons. But as I told you, the first is Psalms 45. It's written for a king. As we told, it might be David or Solomon. We studied about David. Secondly, it might be for a marriage of the time. We told about Job, how God raised him up. Thirdly, this Psalms is a messianic psalm. It is a beautiful Psalms describing about Jesus Christ and his bride. The anointment came upon Jesus. We know that when Jesus was going to get baptized, after he got baptized, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. The Spirit of the God came upon him. Soon after that, he went to the desert to be tempted by devil. But the Spirit of the Lord strengthened him wherever he went. You know, there are three Psalms which portrays the king or the Messiah. There are a lot of Psalms which refers to the Messiah Psalms, which refers to Jesus Christ. But Psalm 2 is a picture of the king in his authority. Psalm 72 gives a beautiful description of the king. And Psalms 45 is looking to the beauty of the king, a beautiful glimpse of the bridegroom and the bride. He fulfilled all what was entrusted on him because the anointment of the Spirit was upon God. You know, in old times, when people are anointed, especially as we told about like Samuel, he went to anoint a king. Anointment was for three things. One, to anoint a prophet. Second, to anoint a priest. Third, to anoint a king. And our Jesus Christ, when he was anointed, all these three was fulfilled in him. As a prophet, he spoke the word of God in a way which was never equaled. As a priest, he offered himself as a sacrifice for us. And a king, he ruled over the course of this earth and he rose from the dead. That is the anointing which led our Christ. Apostle Paul says to Timothy, great indeed is the mystery of our faith. God was manifested in the flesh. The anointment of the Spirit came upon Jesus to accomplish certain things. And what are they? They came to save us from the sin. Jesus Christ was anointed to save us from our sin. Give new life to the church. To seek and serve the lost. To give eternal life. Bring grace and truth. And above all, to do God's will. Today morning, I want to exhort you that there is an anointment on you to do God's will. And when you do God's will, you will find that there is a hope. You will be exalted. You will be anointed with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. How can we accomplish it? There are 7 things. I will just say the points and I'm going to conclude. As youths, as youngsters, how can we accomplish? One thing is sure, the Spirit of the Lord is with you. The anointment of Lord is with you. The spiritual anointment is with you. How can we accomplish it? Just 7 points I will say for you. Be willing to follow Christ. Deny the self. That is our inwardness. Deny it. Take up the cross daily, not periodically, not when it is favorable for us. Take up the cross daily. Follow him daily to the end, not for a while. Live free from the love of the world. When I say that, I'm not saying that we have to leave everything and be in a saintly mood. No. You will be in this world, but your relationship should be with your God. And one more thing, live unashamed of Christ and his words. With the anointment, you can accomplish all these things. Anointing can change us. Anointing brings great difference in our life. In every situation, maybe you are facing some situations where you're going to, where maybe you might be facing an exam. How you are going to school. How you are going to move forward in life. Your future, our future, what is going to be everything. But anointment can change us. As I told, when anointment came upon David, his brethren, his whole family came to him when he was appointed and anointed as king. When God's favor came upon him because he loved righteousness and when he hated wickedness, all his 4 friends and all who had acquaintance with him came to him. And the anointment which was on Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, before his ascension, all his disciples, his household came to him. And they were all gathered in his presence. And he was taken up to heaven. He has gone to heaven. But the angels asked them, why are you looking up? He has gone. So once where he was rejected, the Spirit of God came upon him. And they are looking up above because he is gone. He accomplished what he was told to do so. I would like to read for you from Philippians chapter 2 verses 9 to 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That the name of Jesus every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge it that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This morning, as I conclude, may I exhort you that when the anointment is with you, when the anointment is in you, you don't need to fear anything. Go with the strength of the Lord. Anointing strengthens you. Anointing gives you to be humble. Anointing helps you to have the spirit of love. And it will exalt you. That's what happened to Jesus Christ. When he was anointed, when he accomplished everything, he has gone up. And one day, he is going to come back. And that's what we read. Every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's the good news that we proclaim to you today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forevermore. Anointing can change every situation. May God bless us all by these words.